In the name of Jesus, I greet you today from the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. Grace be to you and peace from God, the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. If we really think of the things that are taking place or that have taken place, and we are in the time of Advent, I'll explain what the word Advent means. It is a period of time prior to an important occasion. When Jesus was born, people were waiting for him. They were waiting for him. They didn't know where he would be born or when. I shouldn't say that they didn't know where. Some knew, some didn't. But when the time of God's plan was there, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was born in the exact location where the Old Testament prophecies had said. We are today in a time of Advent. Of two occasions. We are in the time of Advent before Christmas. And I believe most of us, at least us as believers, we are looking forward to the time of Christmas. It is a happy season for most part, and it should be, because the Lord Jesus, our Savior, is born at Christmas Day. Some people say, well, we don't know what day he was born. But we do celebrate that day on December 25th. We are at a different occasion of Advent. We are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. Although we don't know the time, nor the day, nor the hour, but we do know that we are in the season where he could appear any time. And when God the Father says to his Son, Jesus Christ, go get your bride, that's the day Jesus will come and get his bride. Oh, my desire is so great that each of us and our whole families will be ready to meet the Lord in the air and to go with him when he comes to take his bride. I believe there are many people in the churches. We came from Altona this morning. It's amazing the amount of vehicles that we saw on the road. And I believe most of them, if not all of them, were going somewhere to a church to worship a great God who humbled himself and became low enough also to dwell within our little hearts. Oh, praise God for that. And with this in mind, let us pray. Gracious God, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful morning you have provided for us. We thank you, Lord God, that we can look forward to the birth of Jesus Christ and also look forward to his return when he comes for the rapture, when he comes to take his church and take it into heaven. Lord, we thank you. We pray that all may be ready for that. All our families, all present and all our offsprings, Lord, that unitedly we might, with our families and with the church together, all be lifted up into the sky to be with the Lord forever. Lord, we thank you for the living hope we have through Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit. We thank you for this congregation today. We thank you, Lord, that you have drawn us together this morning to worship a great God, which is willing to give his life for our redemption in the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you will grant words to thy most humble servant that are to be spoken today. And we ask that you will empower your precious word with each individual, that you will give us strength and guidance today and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll worship in singing at this time.
From the Red Book, number 66, Silent Night, Holy Night. Number 66.
Of his love.
wonderful singing and wonderful hymns. To God be the glory for the opportunity. I will start off with the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 8 to 10. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2 to 10, not 8 to 10. Now when John had heard in the prison the words of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? There are a lot of people that in these days look for something else. Many people don't believe that Jesus Christ is the one. They establish their own religion, which is far off from the Word of God. Let us be awake. Verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto him, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. This is wonderful. The Lord is calling a blessing upon us if we are not offended in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that all these things are taking place and have been taking place and will be taking place in the time to come. And we believe in them. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John the Baptist, who was the second cousin of Jesus. What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? We are not looking at a gospel shaken back and forth of the wind. We are looking forward upon a solid foundation of which Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Verse 8, But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before you, before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before you. This was definitely Jesus Christ. This was Jesus Christ, the message of the gospel. To proclaim that Jesus Christ would come and that Jesus Christ, I should say that that John the Baptist would be the forerunner, and he would show the people about the coming of a Savior, the coming of Jesus Christ. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before thee, before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. This messenger is Jesus Christ. John the Baptist came before Christ to proclaim the way of the Savior, to proclaim that Jesus would come. And he did. And he called to repentance. And upon that, he was baptizing in the river of Jordan. And he would even baptize Jesus Christ in the river of Jordan. So this is one of the proclamations that took place many years before Christ was born. And Matthew is repeating it here. Then we turn to the book of Amos. The book of Amos in chapter 8. In Amos chapter 8, verse 11 and 12, we find, "Behold, the day is come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord." When we open our eyes, we see this happening all the time, all the time. People go from one church to the other to search for the word of God, even though they hear the word in one church as well as in the other. People travel from one country to the other in order to find a better spiritual relationship, a better permission, a better situation, and be freer. And yet, it is the same word preached out there than it is out here. But we see this happening. They're searching for the words of the Lord. "And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even unto the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord." The sad thing is, "and shall not find it," because they're searching in the wrong places. They're searching at the places where it's not available. But they search. People seek and search. And we turn to the book of Isaiah. I should say the book of Jeremiah. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8, and verse 22. Jeremiah 8 and verse 22. "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" I'm sure there was, but if people are searching in the wrong place or for the wrong thing, they will never find it. They will never find it. They seek and find not. But it is only to be found in humbleness and in repentance. That's where the real thing is to be found. In the book of Isaiah, we find written in chapter 61. Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 4. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Although this is written many years before the birth of Christ," it is prophesied. It is a word of God, but it's prophesied by the prophet Isaiah. "Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That's exactly what Jesus said later on when he came, when he was on the earth. Then it says to proclaim liberty to the captives. Liberty to the captives does not necessarily refer to incarceration of a physical kind. But it's much more of an incarceration of the spiritual kind. When we allow the things of this world to take us captive, to imprison us. That's what the Lord Jesus came to set us free, to set us free from them, to proclaim liberty to the captives. He sets us free, but that can only happen upon repentance. Further, he says, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. A lot of times we have heard, I want to let go of this cigarettes or of the bottle or of drugs of any kind, but I can't. And that they're telling the truth, I can't. But there's another remedy that can. If we give our life to the Lord Jesus, he can do it. He can do it, and he will, and he has. To proclaim an accepted year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Verse 4, and they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolation. And they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. This is all done by the power of God, and not by self-will. Not by the power we have ourselves, but the power we have of God, the God from heaven through Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 1, I would like to read verse 76 to 79. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. This is what Zechariah says about the John the Baptist. He shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, just as we read from the book of Malachi before, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God. How wonderful! Whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet onto the way of peace. When we really think of what it says here, it is very important and it is very valuable for us to understand. And with this in mind, before we continue, before I go to the text word, which is found in the first in Isaiah, 35. Let us kneel for a word of prayer. Lord, hear all humble prayers and be merciful to all.
Let's take our blue hymnals and turn to number 81, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Number 81, for those that are able, let's stand.
Serpent's head, and out like this hour.
When we think of the fact what happened when Jesus was born, that the shepherds in the field got the first message. Some of the lowest class of people. They were first notified, and they were notified not by human beings. They were notified by God, as God sent his angels to bring them the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ, which was to be their Savior and the Savior of the whole world. It is very interesting to observe how God, first of all, how Jesus was born so lowly in a stable, not even in a motel, because there was no room for them in the inn. Everything was filled. Finally, they found a stable. Some say it's a cave, but others say it's a stable. The Bible is not very clear in that, but it doesn't matter. We know that he was laid in a manger, in a feeding trough. That was his first bed. And then when he was born, it was the lowliest and most simple birth that we know of, that is recorded in the Word of God, and that we have realized in our experiences during our lifetime. They were born in a stable where the animals were. And then the first message was brought to the shepherds. The shepherds in the field that watched their sheep by night. All of a sudden there was a bright light that shone upon them, and the angel appeared and spoke to them. Then there was a heavenly host of angels, a multitude of heavenly hosts saying to them, speaking to them, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. For the Savior is born unto you this night. What day or what night was the Savior born in your heart, friends? Or in my heart? Or was he born at all in our heart? Yes, he was. For us as believers and repentant children of God, Jesus is born into our heart. We have opened our hearts to him, and we have invited him in, and he came in and he dwells with us. And he leads us and guides us from day to day. And that is so interesting to observe. But our text words for today that I have chosen prayerfully is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 35. And what I am going to read is verse 4 to 6 and 8 to 10. Starting at verse 4. Say it to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. So many people in our day of age, they fear the situations that are to come. Many people do know about it, and yet they don't believe, they're not prepared. They don't have the chief captain ruling their walk of life. And that is so sad to say and to see. The Lord Jesus came to tell us, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With vengeance. And then we look at the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. There the Apostle Paul says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is what God came for. This is what God was doing. And in the book of Romans, chapter 8, and verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. The Bible teaches us very clear that we don't have received the spirit of bondage. But God has given us a spirit of freedom. And to God be the glory. I'll continue reading in our text word. Even God, with our recompense, He will come and save you. Isn't that a wonderful message? He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. This is the message of the Old Testament proclaimed 713 years before the birth of Christ. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart. A hart is a male deer. And the tongue of the dumb shall sing, as we find written in Matthew 11. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Verse 8. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Listen to this. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring man, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And that is so wonderful. The redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs of everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What wonderful promises are given to the children of God in this chapter. And it's all because the Lord Jesus came into this world to do all this, to set us free from the bondage of captivity of any kind. He sets us free. In John chapter 14 and verse 27, the Lord Jesus says, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, says verse 1. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And those mansions are prepared for those that repent, for the children of God. For you and for I, they are prepared there. Are we willing to go in? Then he says in verse 3 in John chapter 14, and when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is so wonderful to look upon, so wonderful to behold, and to realize this is what we are waiting for. I have mentioned before the time of Advent. This is the time, this is the day we're looking for when Jesus will come and set us free. When Jesus will come and put us in the place that he has prepared for us in heaven. How beautiful heaven must be. In the book of Psalms, we find written in 14, Psalms 14. Psalms 14 and verse 7. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. The name of Jacob was translated into the name of Israel. Then we think of the fact, what is going on these days in Israel? There's war going on. There has been war when you read through the Old Testament. How many wars have been taking place in Israel? Always the people of God against the ungodly. Or I should say the ungodly against the people of God. This is a war that started in the book of Genesis chapter 3 already. When Adam and Eve were chased out of the Garden of Eden, when they were caused to eat of the forbidden fruit, that's where this war started, and it's still going on, and it will go on until Jesus takes home his church. Then Satan will have his way for a short period of time, no more than 7 years. He sets free his people from the captivity of this world. And Jacob and Israel shall be glad. The Lord God is giving us that we can hardly take it in. But we know it's there. We know Jesus gave it to us. In Psalm 68, verse 3 to 6, the psalmist writes these things. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Are we joyful today? I would say yes, I am. And I hope each individual is joyful today to know that we have a Savior, to know that we have a Redeemer, to know that the Lord God is opening heaven's gate for us and offers us in. Therefore, dear friends, sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jehovah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows is God and his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Here we find how God is taking care of those that surrender to him. It is wonderful. Another passage from Psalms 33. I start reading at verse 4. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon us. I'm sorry. That's the wrong psalm. Psalms 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. So we need not to doubt his word. It is truth all along, right from the beginning to the end, from the day when it says in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. And it goes right through the Old Testament and the New Testament till the end of Revelation. God is our God. God is the one who sets everything in order. God is the one who owns everything. God is the one who created everything. Verse 5, he loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of his goodness, of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. And Jesus Christ being the word of God, according to John chapter 1. And through his word, everything was created. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heaven to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of no effect. The Lord God, he is the one that created everything. The Lord God is the Father of Jesus Christ, his Son. And Jesus says in John chapter 10 and verse 30, I and my Father are one. So we look towards God in this day of age, and we thank him for what he has done and for what he will do in the time to come. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 48, Isaiah 48, verse 15 to 18. I, even I, have spoken. Yea, I have called him. I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me, and hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that I was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Isn't that wonderful? Therefore, when we look at these things, we cannot see any other opportunity for our justification or for the freedom that God has in store for us. But the only one is to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. who tells us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest," according to Matthew chapter 11. And now we find in the book of Isaiah 59, verse 20, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgressions in Jacob, saith the Lord." Do we realize unto whom he is coming? Coming to Zion, which represents the church of Jesus Christ. And to those in Jacob. Unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob. Then Jesus says, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Them I must bring in." And there he points the fingers way into the future, even into our times, because we are not of the fold of the Israelites. We are not of the Jewish people. We are of the Gentiles. And look what happens. Jesus extends his love to the Gentiles, by which also we have obtained mercy and grace from the Lord God and Jesus Christ, his Son. Therefore, we are gathered here this morning to worship a great God. Therefore, we find peace through Jesus Christ. Therefore, our sins are forgiven because we give them to the Lord Jesus and we believe in him. And this is a word of the Lord, saith the Lord, it says. And from here we go to the New Testament. We go to the book of John in chapter 10. In John chapter 10, I'm going to read verse 15 and 16. I should probably read more verses than just those. In verse 9, the Lord Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin and saved from destruction. And shall go in and out and find pasture. Are we finding that? How come we are gathered in this house of God today? Because we were looking for the spiritual pastures to feed our souls. And this is where we find it, in the Word of God. He says in verse 10, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy." That has been Satan's desire ever since. And it is still today. And in many areas of the world, he succeeds. But not in the heart of a child, of a born-again child of God. Jesus says, "I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Oh, praise God for this life that he has given us. "Because I am the good shepherd," he says, "and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Then to verse 14. Again, he says, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of them. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep know my voice, they hear my voice and they know me and they follow me." My encouragement is, let us follow the Lord, the voice of the shepherd, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. In verse 16, he says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Here he refers to the Gentiles, of whom we are. Thanks be to God to extend salvation, not only to the Jewish people, but also extends his love to the Gentiles. That is so wonderful to behold. In the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, I will send my messengers, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." I read this verse before already, but that's okay. Now, from where will the Lord come? As we read in the book of Micah, it is clearly written there in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, where Jesus would be born. I'll read the second verse here. Micah 5, verse 2. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." From everlasting. And this is prophesied 710 years before the birth of Christ. Now back to the words, Bethlehem Ephratah. Both words have a very significant meaning. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And the word Ephratah means fruitfulness. Jesus calls us to fruitfulness, that we bear fruit. And what does that mean? That we keep not the word of salvation to ourselves, but we share them with others, that others may come to the knowledge of the truth as well. And we thank God that this has taken place. Talking about something like this, many people point at the ministers. Yes, it is our job, but it's everybody. Born again children of God have this responsibility to witness for Jesus Christ. He has come to be my Savior, and he wants to be your Savior too. Oftentimes, if this is what we share with people of unbelief, they come to the realization that they also need to repent, and oftentimes it has taken place. Turning to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13, verse 46 to 48. "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, to the Jewish people. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life," there were many of those, not all. Then he says, "Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commended us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. In verse 48, he says, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Are we glad about this message of salvation which was given to the Gentiles and to us? Oh, thanks be to God for the message of salvation, not to be only for the Jewish people or for the Israelites, but also for the Gentiles. For if it wasn't for the Gentiles, where would be our opportunity? But now, since it is extended to the Gentiles, we have an equal opportunity to everlasting life as the Jews have, and thanks be to God. And with this in mind, let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the plan of salvation. We thank you, Jesus, that you have come. Show yourself to the world, not only in their presence or in words, but also in a spiritual being to make a new covenant with those that believed. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for all that came to worship thee this morning in this sanctuary, also in other places, wherever your precious word is preached today. Lord, to you be honor and glory, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is what Jesus is saying. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to the spiritual blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the accepted year of the Lord. To God be honor and glory today and forevermore, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We find also in John chapter 8 and verse 12 where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let us continuously look at Jesus Christ. For he is the one, he is the light himself. He is the one that came into this world. He is the one that gave his life a ransom for all. He is the life, he is the one that shed his blood for the remission of our transgressions, of our sins. He is the one that called out and said, it is finished. Jesus has paid our bills wholly and complete. It is done. It is finished. Thanks be to God. May the Spirit of God guide and lead us from this day forth and ever forevermore. And with this in mind, let us once more kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, hear our humble prayers and give the increase upon the spoken words.
Let's take our blue book and turn to number 83, O Come All Ye Faithful. Number 83.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother John, for that wonderful message you brought us this morning. Also would like to thank the pianist and the song leaders for leading us in singing this morning. Just a few announcements. Men's breakfast for December 21st has been canceled, so it'll continue in the new year. And also the adult Bible study will resume January 8th. And for December 22nd, we'll have a guest speaker here, Wes Heppner. And also, please note, Sunday School Christmas program is today at 2:30. Students, please arrive at 2 p.m. So that's for all the parents who have children in Sunday school. And then just the back of the bulletin, let's keep these families in our prayers for the coming week. Please pray for that young man who is struggling, and also for that young couple who's having serious marriage problems. Pray for them that God will give them guidance and give them wisdom. And then just one note here. We're drawing near to the end of another year, and in trying to keep our church records up to date, we ask that parents with newborn children register your babies before December 31st. Registration cards are available in one of the bottom slots in the mailbox in the foyer. Please fill them and then return to one of the Winkler Ministerial. Thank you for coming and have a blessed Sunday.
Yes, I would also like to say thank you for coming and being here to
to worship a great God who was even small enough to come as a little child, to be born in Bethlehem in a stable, slept his first nights in a cradle, and yet he is the Almighty God that finishes the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. Let us bow for the benediction according to the book of Jude. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you. You may go in the peace of the Lord.